According to USA Today report out yesterday, Army morale is at a low despite a six-year resilience program that cost almost $300 million. Data from resilience tests, which all soldiers were required to complete each year, indicate that over half of soldiers indicate that they're unhappy in their job and worried about their future in the military. With us now is Greg Zaroya, a USA Today reporter who covers the impact of war on soldiers and their families. He wrote an article on this in yesterday's issue of the paper. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
So I touched on a couple of the points there. What were some of the main conclusions of these findings on Army morale?
Well, I think they were really surprised to find that when it came to issues like trusting leadership or trusting peers, a large portion, I think in this case about 40%, scored very poorly on that area. And then when it came to optimism, some of the figures were even more dramatic. Over half showed pessimism, actually, in their outlook for their futures.
What did the Army say to your request for information on this report and to your reporting?
It was dicey. I mean, when I first obtained the documents that were provided to me, I approached the Army about it, and they I think this particular office was not very happy about it. They have a program where they try to instill resiliency in the troops, and these numbers show that things weren't going as well as they had hoped. Their first move was to kind of deny that they thought the numbers even existed. When I provided supporting documents, they suggested that the Army, that the formulas behind the numbers were out of date.
Now, this is a relatively new program in the history of the Army. Is there a sense that Army morale is particularly low now compared to past decades?
Well, actually, when I provided some of this data to authorities who follow the Army and follow the military, they didn't really find it very surprising. I think given the fact that we're coming off of 14 years of war, in which the Army was a key service involved in the combat, along with the fact that the Army's downsizing, and there's some moves underway in Congress to perhaps curtail some of the ways in which they're supported through health care or through retirement. Many of the soldiers are worried about the future, about their jobs, and they weren't surprised at all by these numbers.
Talking to Greg Zaroya from USA Today, looking at some new information showing, upsettingly, from the Army perspective, low morale among soldiers. Now, walk us through, Greg, this resilience program. Why was it started? What was it supposed to do?
Well, this came up in 2009 when the Army was in the middle of two wars, and we're seeing a high rise and increase in suicides and PTSD. They were looking for ways, grasping for ways to try to deal with these problems. At the University of Pennsylvania, there's a psychologist named Marty Seligman who had an idea about instilling positive psychology into subjects by teaching them coping mechanisms and so on. And they'd seen some limited success with high school children for depression. The Army, eager for something to try to make soldiers tougher to withstand the stresses of combat and military life, embraced this completely and launched a fairly expensive program designed to teach soldiers this positive psychology, and been doing it since 2006.
And the results, as you say, not looking good in terms of a lot of morale-type things. Also, something that's surprising to me, some basics of life, nutrition, health, lack of sleep. What kind of results do they get in those parts of the study?
Right. Well, they expanded this this test that soldiers take every year that kind of measures their resiliency to also kind of keep them informed about how they're eating, whether they're eating properly, whether they're getting enough sleep, and so on. And the numbers showed that, in terms of those who were doing poorly, something like 56% of the Army didn't have proper nutrition, and nearly 60% were not getting enough sleep, which, of course, is a growing problem nationwide.
Now, you've done other reporting looking at comparisons between soldiers who have been in active duty in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and those who have been in the service but not in a war zone. Is there indications that things are worse for those people, as we might expect, who are returned from an active war zone?
Well, I think certainly the ones that are exposed to traumatic events where they've been involved in violent activity, where they've seen their comrades killed or wounded, or they've had their lives threatened, certainly are at higher risk for things like post-traumatic stress disorder. But the Army's been at as well as some of the other services, have been kind of at what they call a high tempo for across the service for a number of years now, and not just for those who go into combat, but there can be stress-related issues for deployments away from families, for the constant state of change that the military has been involved in. It's just been a tough time for the volunteer force.
Now, you mentioned earlier the issue of suicide in the military. That's part of what this resilience training was aimed at tackling. Outside of this resilience training, what has the military been doing to try to get at this issue and prevent suicides, either of active duty troops or after they've left active service?
Well, this has been an area that has really caused a tremendous amount of consternation, both within the active duty forces and, quite frankly, for the Department of Veterans Affairs for veterans, where you also see high rates of suicide, particularly among those leaving the service. And so there's been a lot of things done. They've tried to reduce the stigma associated with behavioral health care. They've tried to bring the services of counselors, psychologists, further down the chain, and to make them available to soldiers more readily. They've tried to educate them about ways to look out for each other. What are the warning signs for people who might need counseling or who even may be thinking about suicide? So they've worked very hard to try to address these problems and kind of break down what's been a kind of a tradition of hesitancy to by soldiers to reach out and seek help.
Well, one of the first stops for help, as I understand in the military, might be a chaplain. And you've reported on this. Are chaplains prepared? Are they feeling prepared to deal with these psychological issues and possible risk of suicide?
Well, there was a RAND Corporation study in which they surveyed several thousand chaplains and chaplain assistants to try to get a sense of whether they feel they're equipped to help soldiers. Often chaplains are the first line of defense when it comes to emotional issues, and many soldiers rely on them because there's a confidentiality aspect to speaking to a chaplain. They know that what they say to these people stays just between them. The chaplains work very hard, and many of them are exposed to situations where soldiers say they are exposed to situations where soldiers have discussed suicide. And some of them are concerned that they may not have all the necessary training to deal with those kinds of circumstances. And the conclusion in the RAND study was that it might be a good idea to provide more suicide prevention training to Army chaplains and chaplain assistants.
Now, these issues we're talking about, mental health issues, suicide issues in the military, it flares up, it seems like. Politicians, Congress will make a big deal about this. There's been criticism of the VA. Do you get a sense from within the armed forces that they are really responding with alarm and trying to tackle these things? Or are these resilience programs, things like this, just sort of a window dressing to publicly address these concerns?
Well, I think they believed, for example, the resiliency program was something that could work. Going so far as to say they think it's window dressing, I'm not so sure. But I do think that there are concerted efforts, particularly when it comes to making behavioral health resources available, where there is a sincere effort to try and hire more counselors, make them available to the service members, and so on. I mean, this is a problem that has gotten incredible attention, and which the military is very sensitive about. As a result, the numbers of suicides rose sharply beginning in about 2004 to record levels in 2009, and quite frankly, since then, they've remained at high levels each successive year.
Greg, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me.
That's Greg Zaroya. He's a reporter with USA Today. His piece on low Army morale appeared in yesterday's edition of the paper.